Blessed are they who wait for the Lord. That is our perspective to Advent. Cheering in the longing of the people of Israel for the long-awaited Messiah in Bethlehem. Constantly trying to pump up our desire to meet Jesus in the present. And a deep, deep, deep desire to be embraced by God forever in heaven. That our, as much as we love living in this world, a desire to be with God and with the saints is meant to be even greater. That's our end of the Advent equation. Jesus' end is seen in today's gospel. His bowels exploded with pity on the crowds. He was sick to his stomach, seeing that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he came with haste. He comes with haste to bring about a real culture of encounter, as Pope Francis would describe it, this real meeting between God and man. We see in the prophecy of Isaiah what the long-awaited one would do when he would arrive. They should be familiar verbs to us. He will be gracious to you when you cry out. He'll hear your prayers as soon as you make them. He will give you the bread you need. And the bread we need is far more than the bread on our tables at home. It's the super substantial living bread come down from heaven. He'll give you the water for which you thirst. That water for which our whole existence is parched is the living water that's meant to flow up within us to life eternal. As Jesus said in his dialogue with the woman at the well. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes you shall see your teacher. A voice shall sound in your ears, this is the way, walk in it. When the Lord Jesus finally came, we saw the teaching of God in flesh. We were able to hear him with our ears. As he said, this is the way, walk in it. Literally, he would say, I am the way, follow me. But it's not enough for Jesus to stop there, to come on in and say, follow me, to feed us with himself through the sacraments, particularly baptism, to fill us with an internal geyser of living water flowing up to heaven. Wasn't enough there. Jesus' mission was to make us his missionaries. He wanted us to share that type of compassion for the crowd. That's always a grace. It's not something that's supposed to happen automatically. So he turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Ask the Father, in other words, to give the grace so that you may have similar compassion to what I have. A lot of the times we don't have it. We're totally fine if others go to hell as long as we go to heaven. So many of us are totally fine if 70% of the world, as it does, goes to bed hungry as long as we've got our three squares every day. Jesus wants to change that. He came into the world to transform us so that we would mimic his compassion. It's unsurprising that as soon as the disciples were asking for this grace, for the Father to send out more laborers, that Jesus found his laborers. He found it in the ones asking that very prayer. Soon as they had finished praying, he summoned the 12 disciples, gave them his authority over unclean spirits, to cure every disease and illness, to preach and proclaim that the kingdom of God had come, even to raise the dead. Jesus was sending them out to continue his divine task. Pope Francis last week said that to be a disciple of Jesus at all is to be a missionary disciple. If we've really grasped the elemental aspects of Jesus, this isn't 901 type of stuff, this is 101 type of stuff. If we've really grasped who Jesus is, we've really encountered him, we've really opened our hearts to what he's come into the world to bring, then it'll be quite natural for us to seek to love others as He has loved us first. If His bowels are exploding for us and we really love Him, we're united with Him, then we're going to explode out of love for others. Naturally, it's going to transform us to become real people for others. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Ambrose, who is someone who grasped this. In the opening prayer today, we ask the Lord, through the intercession of St. Ambrose, to touch men and women and call them after His own heart, to go out and to teach and to shepherd others. St. Ambrose was a strange one to receive that call in the ancient world, stranger than any of us. He was the son of the governor of Gaul. That would kind of be like being the head of the eastern half of the United States. It wasn't just governor of Massachusetts. It was huge, big deal. There were only a few of them throughout the entire enormous Roman Empire. And when he was a very young man, he himself was appointed governor of Gaul, prefect of Gaul. An enormous responsibility for somebody so young. He was very gifted, however. After the death of the Archbishop of Milan, which was the largest diocese in the world at the time, and in some ways still is today, in terms of people, he went to settle the dispute among the Orthodox Catholics and the Arians, those heretics who thought that Jesus was just a really, really good man, but not God. He just didn't want to have bloodshed out, as any civil leader would want to do. But he got up at the beginning and he gave a speech reminding them of who they were, reminding them a little bit of Jesus' teaching and how these types of deliberations should be listening to God the Holy Spirit and should be done in mutual love. During those proceedings, a young boy started to shout out, "Ambrosi, Episcope, Ambrosi, Episcope, Ambrose, Bishop, Ambrose, Bishop." Ambrose believed the Christian faith at this time, but he wasn't even baptized. Under the notion of the forgiveness of sins, where if you committed any serious sin, it would be about 10 years worth of penance. It wasn't just say three Hail Marys and make a good act of contrition. We have it really good. Most of those who were in civil authority postponed baptism to wipe out all their sins just in case they did something wrongly under pressure. But as soon as that whole mob started to say, both Arians and Catholics alike, that they wanted Ambrose, Ambrose first tried to run away from the responsibilities. He knew that they were far greater than being prefect of all of Gaul. But eventually, when word got to the emperor, he assented to the election, saying what a great honor it was for him to have chosen a prefect that others could choose as a bishop. So he was baptized. And then he was ordained a deacon, just like Deacon Tim Flaherty over here. Ordained a priest and ordained a bishop. He didn't know all that much. He needed a crash course when he was about my age. So he surrounded himself by a very smart priest to tutor him. And he became a doctor of the church very late in life because he really poured himself into sacred scripture and in the teaching of the church. And then his heart was exploding with pity for the crowds. He was the great spiritual father of St. Augustine, the convert. Augustine went there to hear his tremendous rhetoric, but he was blown away by his Christian example and what he was able to inspire in the people. He said whenever he tried to have a conversation with Ambrose, Ambrose was surrounded by a caterva of the people, by a massive mob of the poor and the sick and the needy. And Ambrose always was caring for them himself. When there was a terrible illness there in Milan, he sold almost all the vessels that the church had, melting them in order to get money, in order to care for the poor. When people thought that what he was doing was sacrilegious, he said, "Not at all. these people are so much more precious than these vessels. They are the ones who are called to contain the Lord ever more than gold and silver pieces. He even challenged the emperors when they were living by a non-Christian path. He was one who shared the Lord's incredible love for the crowd. Now it comes for us. As we prepare for Christmas, as we live Advent well, we've got to grasp that Advent is supposed to change us. And not just a tiny little course correction as we go from a 98 to a 99.5 in the Christian life. It's supposed to be a massive change of our hearts. That's what the Lord has brought to do, so that our hearts begin to burst with love for others. A couple nights ago, I gave a talk at Providence College about Pope Francis's whole theology, and part of it was about his apostolic exhortation that came out last week, about which we're going to have a lecture on Thursday. And a few of those grad students came and said, Where do we start? I said, imagine this. Imagine we started here. That out of compassion for others, every practicing Catholic brought one person back to the practice of the faith over the next year. We'd go from 17% practicing Catholics to 34% practicing in our region. And imagine the next year, we brought one more person back. Then we'd be up to 2/3 practicing the faith. It's not like we have to look at these massive mobs out there and say, what's going to happen? How can I persuade all of them? No, it starts by having an infinite compassion, going out like the Lord, one by one, trying to invite. And I said, that is clearly within all of our doability. If we have that type of mercy for others, that we're going to invite all, but really try to form those friendships to bring one back at a time. And I could see among all those young adults that as soon as it was put in that type of quantifiable pattern, the sense of the pressure started to go way down, because every single one of us knows that that is totally doable. But do we care? Do we love Jesus enough to share His compassion? Because Jesus' bowels are still bursting for the people we know in our families and in our friends who aren't receiving the bread He wishes to give us, the water He wishes to give us, the path He wishes to give us. Jesus asks us today to pray for people after His own heart, after His own exploding, compassionate heart, who will be able to go out and teach and govern with Him, to lead and to shepherd. Let us ask through St. Ambrose's intercession for that grace, as the crowd today doesn't cry out, Ambrosi Episcopi, but it cries out, Carol, Christian, Gabrielle, Christian, Herbert, Christian, Roger, Christian, Irene, Christian. And to be a Christian is to be a missionary who brings Christ to others and others to Christ. St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor, pray for us.